League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah's here.
I'm here.
And Chris is here as well.
I am indeed.
Now, everybody, the phrase "don't judge a book by its cover" suggests that outward appearances are not a reliable indication of the true character of someone or something. However, every week, or even every day, we make all sorts of quick decisions that indicate that we often do that very thing. Today, we're asking this question: should you ever judge a book by its cover?
Yeah. I mean, that's why books have covers.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers.
There's a clear reason books have covers. It's so we know what's in them. Otherwise, you get tricked into reading the wrong thing, like, oh, going to read my Bible today, and then all of a sudden you're reading about Muhammad, and you're like, oh, that pesky book tricked me because I didn't read the cover. Yeah, so I think there's a good reason we should judge books by their covers. I mean, our brains are wired to make judgments, right?
Yeah, but presumably, though, what you were going on there is that the Bible, it's the title of the book, not so much
the cover, really. It's on the cover.
Oh, I don't know. You get some Bibles where they try to make, like, they try to make them look like hip and like really manly, and it's like if you Google things like men's Bible, then it'll be like, yeah, leather, distressed leather cover. And if you Google women's Bible, it'll be like, oh, it's pink and it's pretty.
Yeah.
Even though it's the same thing inside.
Yes. Sparkly. The tone of voice that you've applied to that, obviously you can't, you know, there's no... Okay, so you're saying... Yeah, go on, Chris.
Yeah. Well, our brains are designed to make these judgments, aren't they? I think, you know, like, should I go down that alleyway with drug dealers or a nice lit street with normal people? And it's like, oh, I don't know what to do. And your brain's like, I do. I'm made for this. So make the right decision.
Okay. This is my job. This is literally what I'm here for.
This is what we do.
But I mean, your job, Chris, is that you're a trainee vicar. Mm-hmm. So presumably you've come across a few people in your life who you thought one thing about them, but when you actually got to know them, you maybe began to think another.
Yeah, and you would be one of those Marcus.
I mean, I'm very well presented, so obviously you think I'm a bit of a knob now.
Well, yeah, I know. I thought you were great to start with.
Yeah. Yeah, the jury's still out on that one.
Yeah. No, I mean, books have covers and we judge them. I mean, we do it with everything, I think. Yeah. Don't you think?
No, I think we do. There's only so much you can take in your mind. Every day we make, as I say, snap decisions about stuff, whether it is walk down that alleyway, buy that thing, talk to that person, or if someone approaches you with a clipboard in the middle of the high street, do you engage in their chat, Sarah? Immediately you say no, because you've judged that person because you think that they're a lesser form than yourself.
I just know that I just don't want to have a conversation with someone with a clipboard. Yeah, I just know. And I have a fail-safe way of getting out of it. Just immediately answer your phone. Hello? Oh, sorry, I'm on the phone. Sorry, can't stop right now. Sorry.
That's quite deceitful behaviour.
Cowardly behaviour.
Yeah, in fact, what if your phone rang if you were doing that? That would be particularly embarrassing.
Then it's my bank saying to not give more money away.
It's my bank manager on the phone.
If I get a call from my bank telling me to give more money away, I will take it as a sign from the Lord, and I will speak to the person with the clipboard and I will give them £100.
Okay, fair enough.
If the person with the clipboard had a T-shirt saying National Lottery winners, would you speak to them? We're going to take your name. No, you wouldn't.
No, they've got a clipboard. Don't trust someone with the clipboard.
That's not judging the book. As I say, they're telling you what they are rather than trying to give you a sense of what they are. But I tell you what, the research shows that in general, people are more interested and think more highly of physically attractive people.
That would be why so many people tell me they just have such a good opinion of me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you're doing so well in your career.
Yeah.
But it is. But it is interesting, though, Chris, isn't it? That we can try, and I think perhaps we're better as a society with this sort of thing than not, because you don't want that to be the denominator that determines success or failure. But quite clearly, it still has a massive influence on our minds, our silly little minds.
Now, I know this person I will mention does not have lots of fans, not even fans amongst us on the show. Mm. But in the infamous interview Jordan Peterson had on Channel 4, he listed 18 areas in life where one gets ahead in life. Mm-hmm. And one of them was attractiveness.
Yeah.
He's like, it's, you know, kind of people get ahead or get remembered if they're attractive. And that is sad because it means, you know, mm-hmm. content might not be so good, but you know, you look quite nice.
I
do think as well, if you think about the classic portrayal of villains in books and films and TV, they are often portrayed as ugly
British.
and bad teeth to go with that. But they are often portrayed and like often even disfigured, which I know a lot of has been done over the past few years to try and kind of step away from that of, you know, using disfigurement as some kind of marker of being a villain in shows. But it's quite a classic trope, isn't it? That you think about, you know, the Wicked Witch or whoever in a fairy tale will always be, air quotes, ugly.
Yeah, that was one of the good things about Game of Thrones and George R. R. Martin. As actually the kind of heroes, he had Tyrion the dwarf who was disfigured, and then he had Bran who was disabled, you know, after falling out of a tower, and he was very. I think I heard an interview. He was very intentional to have his heroes look very different from heroes of other novels and other stories, because he was like, and I think he said himself he related to those figures. He always felt that he wasn't attractive and things like that, and he was just like, you know, the ones with substance were the ones that weren't, you know, weren't the beautiful ones, so to speak.
Yeah, no,
Jon Snow.
I never watched Game of Thrones, so I'll take all your words for that. But in terms of how people remember and what they can do, I mean, a man who I love, and I'm sure Chris does as well, who is a very physically attractive man, is David Beckham. But some people can be quite surprised that he certainly in front of the cameras might not be the most charismatic person, shall we say, and it can be, you know, if you see him on chat shows, he can be a little bit wooden. Now, I don't know whether that's a bit of stage fright or whatever. I'd be surprised if that was the case nowadays. And don't get me wrong, I love the man, and he's achieved great, great things. But if he wasn't so attractive physically, I'm sure he is, you know, emotionally as well, would people remember him? Would they think the same things about someone like David Beckham?
And it's interesting, I wonder, like, I'm not sure there's a person on earth who doesn't know who David Beckham is, but if you showed someone a picture of him who hadn't ever seen him before, you know, like, he's got the six pack and all the tattoos, and I don't know what his hair is like these days, but you know, at some points he's had like a shaved head. What would you think he was like? And then, as you say, Marcus, you hear him talk, it's his voice that always surprises me, where I kind of go, oh, I wasn't really expecting that. Don't necessarily match up.
But I think as well, though, with someone like him, and maybe again with, you look at him and you think he might have, especially back in the day, you think he looks more like a model or an actor or something like that. And perhaps with an actor, and if you think you're good looking actors and so on, they tend to be, not always, but they tend to be quite charismatic and, you know, very upfront. So that's perhaps the reference point that you're thinking. And then you apply that to, say, David Beckham, you think, oh, no, he's a footballer, actually. Mm. And just because he's a good footballer doesn't mean to say he's a particularly good public speaker. And that's where the sort of, you're judging him, that book, by its particular attractive cover.
Do you think things are changing a bit more now in terms of, like, I just think about Billie Eilish and her stance that she has about I'm wearing bigger clothes, and actually I'm not gonna be known for my physical appearance but for my content, or is that an anomaly?
I think artists have tried that in the past, to differing success, I suppose, but I do admire it on one level. You see what I mean? Or on a level, I know of her quite clearly, but, you know, I'm an old man when it comes to kind of music and all that sort of stuff nowadays. But it is quite interesting. Music is one area particularly where if you see a certain, if you go into a certain genre of music, you expect something. And if you do, I mean, let's be honest. I'm sure Eminem, I know usually you'd think of the other way around when you kind of judging book by its cover, but you know, a white fella trying to be in the rap scene, you know, I wouldn't think that straight away. You know, he was quite important for a lot of people as well. And it works in so many other sort of different ways. I mean, on a slightly more nuanced and on a personal story, have you ever been to Ronnie Scott's jazz club in central London?
Soho, yeah.
It's in central London. It's quite a legendary jazz club. Now, I don't have the foggiest about jazz, but you know, every now and then you listen to it and you kind of go, "Hey, I'm listening to jazz." And
where's my roll neck?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I my friend and I, we went there one evening. And it was great. It was one of those things that I wouldn't go every week, but every now and then it's a bit of a novelty. In fact, I think I've only been there once. Every now and then I could totally see how...
It was a novelty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Glad I did it. Never again. Dreadful stuff. But we went along and there's the more informal bar area in one place, and then there's the more kind of venue, if you like, in another. There's probably all sorts of other bits and pieces to that place. But we were in this venue. And you know, the low lights, the sort of everything in my mind is velvet. And you sit down, and it's a very, very cool and refined and calm place.
You just feel cool being there. Don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You're just like, I'm obviously cool just by merit of being here.
Totally, yeah.
Surrounded by red velvet.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not my tracksuit.
We sat down and the band on the shuffle onto the stage. And again, just they're looking the absolute business. And this chap went on the stage and he was the compere. And he looked a million quid. He looked fantastic. He had a sort of a bit of a slight New York twang. And you thought, this guy is the physical embodiment of jazz. He is absolutely immaculate.
Spirit of jazz.
Yeah, totally. All that. And he was rubbish at his job. He was dreadful.
No.
I can't. He tried. He couldn't string a sentence together. He was just like, hey, so, so on the drums, it's Billy Boy and like a sort of a student trying to be do student radio or something, and they're kind of just stumbling on their words and they don't really know, and they come across as nervous and all. He was dreadful. And I thought, this guy, he can't be his first gig. There's absolutely no way. He was awful. It just wasn't what we were expecting. Like, it was laughably bad.
You sound like Paul Hollywood. You know, when on Bake Off, when they like they cook something beautiful
and
then they eat it and they're like, that just tastes rubbish. Like, or it looked brilliant, but that's not what I wanted. It's about flavour.
So this is it, right? You can't just go on the looks. Like that guy, like you say, he looked amazing. And he looked like he was the perfect man
Sounded
for the job.
Sounded it as well, yeah.
But if you haven't got the substance below, then it doesn't matter how nice the cover of your book is.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing about you, Sarah. You always look at what's on the inside as well as the outside.
Well, I wasn't sure when you were going for Ronnie Scott's that you were going to say something about like the... Because I've not been there, about, you know, was the exterior really bleak or something? Because, interestingly, you guys may have had a similar experience. When I was... It was quite a few years ago now when I was flat hunting. Mm-hmm. One of the places, the letting agent said, oh, you must see this place, it's just come on. And you think, oh, okay, right. So no, trust me, I think you're gonna like it. Okay, fine. So they gave me a lift over, and it's this tower block that looks, it sort of looks like it belongs in a really cheap part of the Costa del Sol.
Right.
It just looks like just crap. Mm. And it's like at the top of a hill in southwest London. And I just...
It's half painted in white, half in like terracotta.
Mm-hmm. Virtually, yes. It was just... I was
empty
just like,
pool
oh, no.
out front.
And also, at this point, I was about 23 or so, you know. Mm-hmm. It looked like sort of like a retirement block in Malaga. Mm. And I just thought, oh no, here we go. And we go inside, and it's quite nice in the reception hall. And then when we went into the flat, I was like, oh, hold on. Oh, I want this one. We'll take this one. Was great. It was huge. Yeah. It was really big. Had these like massive big windows, and I was just like, oh, I've absolutely judged this on the outside, haven't I? And I ended up living in the flat. It was great.
There you are. You see, I did this with a curry house in West London once. I walked past that place many times, didn't know what it was. And it looked like a sort of a crappy little cafe that was never really open. And I just thought, how are you doing any sort of business? And it was one of the best curries in the area. It was phenomenal. Yeah. And the way they did the onion bhaji, the guy explained to my friend and I, this is actually what an onion bhaji should look and taste like. And it was magnificent. I've never had an onion bhaji like that anywhere before or since. But it was so funny. I do question, and I haven't named the place, so I do wonder if there was some sort of money laundering going on or something. I was a bit like, "What this? This is this good that
how
you
is this
should,
working?
Yeah, you should really be advertising this a bit more."
The bhaji was made up of sliced up £10 notes that they fried.
That's why it was so crispy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I've never tasted this before. Well, no, you wouldn't.
Well, first and foremost, it wasn't in a bowl. He said onion bhajis don't
controversial.
Come it came like sort of almost like chips. That's what it was. It was magnificent. It was absolutely
like a nest.
Magnificent.
I think greasy spoon calves are a similar vibe. Of the worse they look, it tends to be the better the fry up.
That's not always true. I'll be honest.
Well, I don't know. Some of the
don't
best
give
fries
our listeners
I've had.
Don't want to throw our listeners a bad bone there.
You can't. Don't sue me if you get a bad fry up somewhere. But I do feel like some of the best ones I've had have been at the real. They look like an absolute dive. You know, the vinyl tablecloths that are really sticky and you don't really want to investigate why. That
I mean, you don't want clean when you go for a fry up. Is that what you're saying, Sarah? You like you want it to be grease on grease.
Yeah. 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 I want to feel when I walk in. I want to feel the grease almost on my skin in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
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 It's like when you have a burger. The best ones are when the grease drips off your elbow. Cause it's just gone down.
Or a doner.
Yeah. Oh. I'm starving now.
What have we done?
I've got one where I once played football with a chap who was larger than the rest of us. Mm. And therefore, on the pitch, people didn't take much notice of him. But he was not only rapid, but incredibly skillful. Mm. And before the other team had even realised that he'd bagged a hat-trick. Because they were judging him on their appearance. They were like, this guy doesn't look like an athlete. We'll leave him and mark the other lads. But he was absolute mustard. Like, he was so good. And, I mean, that's their fault, isn't it?
I love that when it's kind of hidden talents or hidden depths to people. And I was thinking about this and I was like, I feel like there are so many like TV shows and films and stuff where it's like, I was thinking of, is it Good Will Hunting?
Yep.
You know, where he's the janitor and he doesn't look like anything special, but he's a genius. And I've been watching recently The Queen's Gambit on Netflix. Yes. You know, and there's this little tiny girl who just, you know, doesn't really have any social skills and then turns out she's an absolute genius at chess.
Did you like her fringe?
I dream of a fringe like that.
So you love a fringe.
Trust me, I am taking style tips from her. But yeah, I think there's something. Oh yeah, listen to some jazz. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think there's something as humans we really like those stories, don't we? Because I think we all like to imagine that we've got kind of hidden depths and there's more than meets the eye.
Well, and society's judged this as kind of not good enough, but they've missed out because actually there's something within me that I could offer. Mm.
I incorrectly judged a chap who's now a very, very good friend of mine. It was when we started university. So it was, go on, Ben, it was decades ago now. And I just thought he was a bit of a loner, a bit distant, not really that interested in being a part of the pack and making friends and all that kind of thing. And then I realised after a certain period of time that he was just his own man and didn't really feel the need to try and impress. Yeah. Not in an arrogant way. And not in a particularly dismissive way, because actually every time I spoke to him, he's very friendly and so on. But he just was very comfortable and it was interesting. It was totally different. I just thought, oh yeah, he's this, that, and the other. And then it turned around, and I have learned so much from my friendship with him. And he's from quite a different background to me. And I'll be honest with you, I suppose we're all judgmental in certain ways, but I was probably quite judgmental about certain types of people back then, or certain groups, and No, that's nothing. I'm not about to say I was, a horrible racist. Well, I don't mean that. As in, like, for example, people
Marcus's
who
big reveal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Sarah looks so scared right there.
No, but
here we go.
But it was things like if someone was into drugs, for example, I'd have probably just written them off as a person and gone, "Oh, you take drugs? You're an idiot." Blah, blah, blah. Now, don't get me wrong. I forgive me for sounding like a school teacher, but drugs are bad. I don't think people should do them. But at the same time, if they do, I shouldn't write them off as a human being. So he essentially reminded me of my own Christianity. Not that he's a Christian himself, and wouldn't do that whole thing. It's never very Christian of you. But just in his the way he was and the way he would speak about certain things that he'd experienced, which were very different to me, and stuff that I maybe would have scorned. And I'm not saying, again, they're necessarily good or something that he was boasting or proud of. But I just thought, so you've done this, this, and this, and you've, found yourselves in these kind of situations, and yet you're a really good mate, and I really like you and value you and all this sort of stuff. And it just really showed me that, again, it's just not that wise sometimes to kind of make these kind of sweeping judgments and whatnot.
Yeah. But you're always told, aren't you, make a good first impression. Yeah. And as you said, when, especially if you're turning up to university for the first time or a job, I think you expect other people to put something out there that they want to be judged by. So I guess with your friend, if he didn't, then you're already making a judgment because you're like, hang on, why are you being weird about this? When he was just being very, very normal. But I guess with the judging and on impression stuff, that's why so much money goes into marketing, right? Because we is it Coca-Cola, famously their biggest budget is in marketing?
Yeah.
Because it's never in product development, because it's basically the same stuff with a slightly different flavor every now and then.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's how you get out there, is by having good marketing. We were all attracted to, good imagery and colors and, snazzy, taglines and all that sort of stuff. Like we do absorb that first. I don't think we can get away from that.
Yeah, no, but you're right. I mean, sorry, Sarah.
It's interesting, when we decided what we were doing the show on today, I actually was thinking about literal books as well. And apparently there is a really big trend at the moment because of things like Instagram, where people share a lot of imagery for book covers. Now there's this real trend for kind of graphic book covers. I think it's the Booksellers British Book Awards have brought back their book design awards. They got rid of them for a while because they were like, there's so much going on.
Yeah.
And there's a real thing going on with, people trying to, when you've only got a few seconds, if you think about it, you're scrolling through your feed.
Mm-hmm.
People want to make their book covers really, really attractive now. Whereas for a time there was that sort of like, oh, well, you can't judge it and you've really got to give it a try. And I don't disagree with that, but there's nothing wrong with having a nice book cover, is there?
Do you think there's so much content available all the time now? So there's even pressure to be noticed with all that stuff.
Yeah, I think very much. Like, I think it has to cut through.
Yeah.
And like, if you think about it, if your book, or in the wider context of what we're talking about, anything, you want it to stand out amongst however many hundreds and thousands of other things. So, yeah,
it's very difficult to stand out from the crowd in those kind of fields and whatnot and so on and so forth. To take the conversation in for myself, you go to America and you've got the English accent and all that kind of stuff. And I remember going over there about, 20 years ago, whenever it was, basically Notting Hill had just come out and my hair wasn't too dissimilar to Hugh Grant's. Couldn't believe their luck. There I was, this walking quintessential sort of Englishman who...
going around going, who, what, what?
Exactly, whoops-a-daisies and all that. And I absolutely lapped it up, and I don't feel at all remorseful for being... I didn't do a Hugh Grant and get in touch with Divine Brown or whatever.
I was going to say, but I didn't go the going down dark alleys at the start. There's where the judgment comes in.
It wasn't in an alley, it was in a car. I'm still talking about Hugh Grant, everybody.
Yeah.
Bless him. Speaking of floppy-haired Englishmen, I'm loath to say it, but Boris Johnson... had the impression that he was a bumbling fool who didn't know what he was doing. And I admit that that may still be the case for some people. However, policies and all the rest of it aside, no one becomes prime minister without having a very clear and shrewd plan.
it is 100% an act. That it has been, people have talked about it, how when he's giving an interview, you know, his stylist or whoever will come and will do his tie up and, you know, sort him out, put a bit of powder on the nose, and he will then deliberately ruffle up the hair so that he looks a mess. It's completely calculated.
It's disarming.
Yeah. I've seen reports of him doing the same talk where he'll get on stage and it's this bumbling act, like, oh, yeah, he'll get on stage and be like, where am I? What am I doing? And then he speaks, and then he does exactly the same the next place. I think it was whatever journalist was there said, oh, I saw him do the exact same warm-up line. And he said it's this very carefully curated image that he's a bit of a bumbling buffoon. He's quite a lovable chap, really. Yeah. And that's why he gets away with what he gets away with.
Yeah. But look at him. He's harmless. Give him the codes. Yeah. Give him the nuclear codes. He'll be fine.
It's funny, Marcus, you mentioned earlier racism. And I've been on quite a few of these sort of unconscious bias trainings recently. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that we all have these unconscious biases by which we judge other people. Mm-hmm. The best training I went on, they said, you know, if I say to you, oldest child, what comes to mind? Mm. So if I said to you guys, oldest child, what comes to mind immediately? What are the thoughts that would come?
Me, oldest really child. Smart, very independent, just winning at life.
Yeah, okay, that's good. What about the youngest child? Irresponsible, carefree, doesn't care.
Physically smaller, oddly.
Yeah. 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 And middle child?
Brilliant. Sexy.
You're obviously a middle child.
Yeah. I am.
You were waiting for that.
Got but a lot like, of problems even, with being the middle child.
Yeah, even that, we all have these kind of unconscious notions already what an older child is like and a younger child and things like that. So, and that's because of, you know, the lives that we've lived and grown up with, and then all the narratives you hear around that. So it is quite hard to not even unconsciously have a perception of somebody on basic things like that. And, you know, that's where I guess a lot of the work in current times is undoing those biases and sort of pre-judgments before we even know that we've judged.
Yeah. I think I might have mentioned on a previous pod that somebody I know went to this big sort of annual convention company thing, and they had this speaker there, and it is a bit sort of cheesy, but the speaker says, right, you're all in the room, everybody get up and stand next to the person who you think looks like a leader.
Yeah.
So, okay, but usually go to a big, tall person, something like that. And then it's kind of like, okay, all right. So people are slightly awkward, but I suppose ultimately you're complimenting somebody and off you go. And he says, okay, that's fine. And then, again, this is a bit cheesy. He goes, stand next to somebody who doesn't look like a leader. And, of course, nobody moves. And he goes, so you obviously value politeness over truth. And, again, it is a bit cheesy and it's a bit smarmy, but there is something in that, I think.
Yeah, they're asking you to make a judgment on appearances again, aren't they?
But if it's a positive judgment, it's fine.
Mm. Yeah. So we all kind of want judgment, is what you're saying, but we only want the positive judgment, not the negative judgment.
Yeah, essentially.
Which is true, isn't it? We all want people to go, nice haircut, nice clothes, not that doesn't suit you, that washes you out. Like, no one wants to hear that.
Yeah. The funny thing is, though, without getting bogged down by this, is at the moment people talk about cancel culture. I think that is the epitome of judging a book by its cover as well. Cancel culture. And then they burn those books. Because people say, who did you vote for? Oh, right, you're at such and such. Or who do you, you know, that people are written off. I mean, I said earlier, if people are, say, taking drugs or, you know, maybe sleeping around or something like that, we shouldn't write those people off. And I think everyone would agree. But if someone says something which maybe is perceived to be like a bit of a sexist joke or something, again, I don't think that's a good idea. And those are the things, you know, we want to call out nowadays. But we would question their integrity. Whereas with the other examples, if you're, say, taking drugs, say if you're taking cocaine, you know, well, you are participating in the misery which that industry, you know, can do all over the world. Because if everybody stopped doing that, then that would calm down. So again, like, where's your integrity there? And so it's okay to write off one sort of group or individual, but perhaps not the other, if you see what I mean.
I think you've clarified your point there. I think.
Thank you.
What?
I've got to repeat that.
Yeah, he wasn't letting you in till he got round.
I was going to say. I think all those things. You know. No, I don't think you should write anyone off for one particular thing. Obviously, there are certain extreme things that we are not talking about here. But yeah, like someone says one stupid thing that they haven't thought through. No, don't write them off completely. I think. Yeah, I was a little concerned where you're going with the kind of with the cancel culture thing, but you've clarified. Don't worry, I won't tread in this time, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for giving me the room to clarify that. And by the way, quite clearly,
that's the epitome of cancel culture, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, clearly, I'm talking about someone sticking their ass in the custard or something. Do you know what I mean? I'm not talking about repeat offenders who clearly have a massive problem.
I've never heard that. Is that an actual phrase?
No. Did you make that up, or is that a real thing?
Heard that one before?
No.
All right. Okay. Or I could use I could use a Malcolm Tucker. You know, someone's dropped a bollock in the noodles or something. You know, he says that. As in, what would be the? You know, you've put your foot in it essentially.
Oh. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, we're all on board there. Okay.
I'm never eating custard ever again.
Not around Marcus.
Not one with dips in it, anyway.
But as in, it, clearly, if someone is a repeat offender, you can't say, hang on. You know, there's a bit of give and take here.
Why is there a hair in my custard?
Come on, Krista, we've got to move on from that now. No, but I understand the fact is that if someone does, you know, support, say, an extreme political party, does come out with certain views, da-di-da-di-da, it might suggest that they're a very angry person at heart. And you go, but they're all right if they get to... No, look, again, I don't think anybody should be written off forever and a day. You know, there's got to be forgiveness in society and there can be rehabilitation and da-di-da-di-da. I was more talking in the general, if you see what I mean, day-to-day, you know. Just, again, to further clarify before we announced that this is the last ever episode of this podcast.
Marcus has been cancelled. The show has been cancelled. That's the end, I'm afraid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
what a way to go.
Yeah, what a way to go.
Go on a bang. Say everything you really think, Marcus. Yeah. Go on.
But we are influenced by our own bias and preconceived ideas. As Marcel Proust once wrote, and I often quote him, we pack the physical outline of the creature we see with all the ideas we already have formed about them, and in the complete picture of them which we compose in our minds. These ideas have certainly the principal place, so that each time we see the face or hear the voice, it is our own ideas of them which we recognise and to which we listen.
He is known for a few little gems like that, isn't he?
Yes.
To be fair.
The book I'd like to judge by its cover is Mein Kampf. I think you
shit
can
cover,
judge that book.
Yeah. Shit book. Shit author.
Exactly, yeah.
Not going to read it. Going to judge it.
Are you not judging it by its reputation and author's notoriety rather than the actual cover, though?
I'm judging it. I don't buy lots of things. Yeah,
I think that's fair. I think that's very, very fair.
And, always turns around to the Nazis,
I was about
it?
To say, Chris has mentioned the Nazis and Hitler. We've got to finish on that note.
There we go.
Yes, excellent. Well, thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. If you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter and Insta at AQQAPod. So getting involved there. Thank you for not judging us by our covers and whatnot. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.